Who was Adam? When we talk about Adam, what comes into your mind? To you, is Adam a mythical figure of ancient Hebrew poetry? A story to teach? But not really true? Not history? To you, is Adam a symbol of a time in man's history when he was a gatherer and nothing more? To you, is Adam a poetic figure of man's social evolution? Or is he a recent miraculous description of Western man's physical evolution? Or something else? You know, when you start talking about Adam to your friends and neighbors out there, they sort of look at you like you listen to a fairy tale. It's not real. And I think one of the reasons that it's not real to them, and maybe sometimes to us, is that we don't understand Adam. We have traditional answers. And quite frankly, brothers and sisters, most of the time those traditional answers have not been biblical. They are not correct. Do you understand that slavery was justified on the basis that white people were the descendants of Adam and black people were the descendant of apes? Did you know that? That was how they justified going into Africa, ripping people out of their families and forced them into slave labor in the United States. A lot of people doing that claim to be Christians. They didn't understand the nature of Adam. We have questions that people ask that we maybe don't have good answers to that revolve around understanding Adam. Like, where did Cain get his wife? Like, did Adam have a belly button? Like, what is a help meet? We have a presidential candidate that doesn't seem to understand that term. And I say that seriously, not politically. Are women objects? What does subdue mean? You know, man was told to subdue the earth. What does that mean? How do we use resources? Do we justify pollution on that basis? You see, what happens here is that liberal answers compromise the Bible. They make the Bible unreal. They put it in the myth category. And literal answers, where people rip a 1611 translation out and put their own interpretation on it, violate what the Bible actually says, and makes us look like we're idiots. When we really study what Adam is and how it relates to us, we come up with significant answers. I hope I can share a few of these with you this morning. Let me first of all point out to you that Adam was a creation. A creation. It was unique. It was different than anything else. The massive killing that is going on in the world right now is because we don't understand that. You know, there are three verses in the Bible, in Genesis, where the word in Hebrew for creation is used. Three verses. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Hebrew word used there is a word uniquely used to a miraculous act of God. We don't seem to have trouble with that one. Time came into existence. Space came into existence. Matter energy came into existence. That's verse 1. But the word in Hebrew that is used to indicate creation is not used again until verse 21. The word chosen between those, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, on through 20, The word used throughout that involves a process of making or shaping or molding, not creating. Taking what had already been created and molding it into something else. So the sun and the moon, for example, are created in verse 1, but they are molded in verses 14 through 19 for a purpose. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. That's a purpose of things already created. See, the kind of problem we get into is people don't understand where the light in verse 3 came from. And that's because they don't understand creation. The objects are created in verse 1, the light gets to the earth in verse 3. But God did not shape them into signs, seasons, days, or years until verses 14 through 19. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. The next time that the creation process is described is the one we're focusing on this morning. And that's in verse 27. So God created man. Okay. Now we have life. I should have mentioned verse 21 has life. As it's created. God created great sea creatures and everything that moves upon the waters brought forth abundantly. That's used there. But the next time, the one I want to focus on is verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. What's interesting is that man's body is not described in that verse. So God created man in his image. Hey, when you look at me this morning, you're not looking at something that is physically in the image of God. God is not bald and fat and ugly. That's not God. I am created in God's spiritual image. Now it does say in Genesis 2 and verse 7, God formed man of the dust of the earth. The Hebrew word there, used there is yachar. By the way, these are in your bulletin if you're interested in the words. And it means to form or to fashion, like a potter would do a vase. Take something that had already been created and molding it and shaping it. And then we're told in the next part of the verse that God put the breath of life into what he had formed. But Adam is a miracle. Adam is created in the image of God. He is spiritual in nature. It's not his body that looks like God. God is not a man, the Bible says. We are not formed in God's image. God does not have hands and feet and face and all of that. People ask silly questions because they don't understand. Like what race is God? What sex is God? Did Adam have a belly button? The answer to that is no. No, Adam was created miraculously. If he had a belly button, that would indicate he had been formed naturally, biologically, from a woman. He would have had an umbilical cord. And that's not what Adam was about. He wasn't born of a woman. He was a miraculous creation of God. And by the way, God does not fake us out. Can't you imagine a discussion between Adam and God if Adam had the belly button? God, what is this? What do I use this? Oh, you could come up with a wonderful comic scenario there. James says, James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God does not deceive us. He didn't deceive Adam. You say, well, then what did Adam look like? I don't know. I wasn't there. He lived in the Fertile Crescent. He probably had dark skin. He probably had black hair. You need that at that latitude. But I wasn't there. He certainly did not look like Kirk Douglas with some of the stuff you may see in one of those pictures in your Bible. And he was a gatherer. All of our scientific evidence shows that. He picked his fruit off the tree. He ate the things that God provided that were natural in the world around him. We call it paradise. The closest we come to it is in tropical islands today, but even then it's no paradise. So we don't know what he looked like. We don't actually even know how long he lived that way. Genesis 5 and verse 5 says that Adam lived 930 years, but that was after he started to die. That was after the fall. So we don't know how long he was in the garden. And by the way, the Bible also indicates that apparently Adam and Eve had children. That violates some of our Victorian traditions. But let me tell you something. Sex is not evil. The Victorian view of sex as something dirty and evil is unfortunate. Sex is a beautiful, wonderful thing created by God. Being one is not just physical. It involves an emotional connection, a special relationship. The modern view of sex that we see on radio and television and movies and where have you demeans sex. Yeah, they had sex. They had children. They were commanded to do that, by the way. In Genesis 1 and verse 28, they were told, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Somebody said one time, that's the only command God ever gave, man ever obeyed. Yeah. But they either did what God said or they sinned so quickly they didn't have time, less than 9 months. And that's not what the Bible indicates, because in Genesis 3 and verse 16, God says to Eve, I will increase your pain in childbirth. Well, if she hadn't had it, that has no meaning. Her pain was increased. And there is every indication that many people left the garden, not just Adam and Eve. Remember what Cain said in Genesis 4 and verse 14? Cain said, it will come to pass that everyone who finds me will slay me. Well, if there had been no other children born, how did that happen? There were children born in the garden. Cain and Abel were after the garden. And Cain knew his wife. Where did he get his wife? Well, she's the 35th cousin, six times removed, born in the garden. There's no problem answering those kinds of questions if we don't let our traditions interfere with our understanding. And verse 17 says, he built a city. Hey, you don't build a city with you and your wife. That's a house. A city has lots of people in it. So apparently they had children. And apparently they communicated differently than we do. Differently in their talking with God. Differently in their talking with the serpent. So you see, Adam was a creation. Unique. Special. And may I call your attention to the fact that the fall was primarily a spiritual event. Not primarily a physical event. In Genesis 2 and verse 17, a spiritual promise is given to Adam and Eve. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you must not eat. In the day you eat of it, you will die. So they ate the fruit and they dropped dead physically, right? No, that's not right. They dropped dead spiritually. Yeah. They died spiritually. They were separated from God because of sin. But that's not physical. You say, well, there was no death until they did that. Really? Well, then how did they eat anything? I mean, think about it. Whatever you eat for lunch today, you're going to kill something. You eat a banana, you just murdered 2,000 seeds. I'm not being facetious. Death is not a negative thing. It's part of the world in which we live. So physical death is not the emphasis. Now, physical sin leads to death. That's unquestionable. But the fall was a spiritual event which separated them from God. And the concern was that man would go on and be in rebellion against God. Genesis 3 and verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like us. Us. Who's he talking to? Same ones he's talking to when he said, let us create man in our image. We'll become like us. knowing good and evil, now he may take forth his hand and also take of the fruit of life and live forever. God separates man. But the emphasis is spiritual. And for a long time, man flounders spiritually. You know, in Judges 17 and verse 6, and again in Judges 21 and verse 25, and again these passages are in your bulletin, I encourage you to spend some time looking at them. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Well, what happened with that? War, murder, chaos, violence. Hey, ISIS isn't new. The atrocities going on in Syria, what a horrible mess. It's not new. Left to his own, without God, it's survival of the fittest. And men fight to the death to determine who's fit. Adam came as a physical being, a place for the Spirit to dwell. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, talking about us, it says, it is sown a natural body. My body is going to go back to the material of the earth from which it came. It is sown a natural body, but that's not the end of me. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, a living being. The Greek word used here is psuche, which means an animal soul. Adam was made a physical being, his body. But then it goes on and says, the last Adam, Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. And the word used there is pneuma, which means a spiritual soul. To make sure we don't misunderstand it, the verse goes on and it says, that which came first was natural. Our body is made of natural stuff. Why are Bill and I going to doctors and having them look at our ticker? Because the doctors are concerned about our natural stuff. And if they stick a stent in Bill's vessels to keep them alive another 50 years, the way that's going to work is it's going to be a natural material. That which came first was natural. But after that which was spiritual. The first man is of the earth, Adam. See, that's our bodies. Of the earth. Dust to dust. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. As we have borne the image of the earthy, because we have a physical body, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. We will be like Jesus. And it ends that discussion by saying, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. You need to read all of 1 Corinthians 15. I left out some verses that were not relevant to my point. Read it all. But the fall was a spiritual event. And one of the problems we have with these questions that people ask, what sex is God? What race is God? What did Adam look like? What race was Adam? All of those kinds of questions are rooted in a misunderstanding of what Adam is. Adam is spiritual. He was created in the image of God. That's what set him apart. But it was housed in a physical body made of the dust of the earth. Every one of those passages we read supports that concept. The Bible is incredibly consistent in its description of our nature. But from the fall on, God has sought to restore man. That's my third point, perhaps the most important. I pointed out to you a moment ago, from Adam to Moses, man was in free fall, morally. All he had was instinctive morality. When you read the old law, it was all instinctive morality. If you accidentally kill somebody, here's a city of refuge you can run to. Here's some food you shouldn't eat. Here's a day of rest that you're going to need. Those are all instinctive moralities. From Moses to Christ, there was a social order established because people were living in cities. And so you had temples and you had synagogues and you had priests and you had people who organized ways for men to continue to be drawn close to God. But then Christ comes. And Christ gives a way to live that works. Christ gives man a way to live that works eternally. Eternally. Not just a bunch of physical laws that end when you die. Not just a bunch of free fall situations where you figure out what is best for you. But eternally. Listen to Colossians 2, starting with verse 12. You, by being born in baptism, were buried with Christ and were raised with Him through faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. And you who were once dead by reason of your sins and your uncircumcised nature. See, one time you were just like Adam right after he was kicked out of the garden. It was your sin that separated you from God. It was man's sin that separated him and put him in a physically disastrous situation. You who are once dead by reason of your sins and your uncircumcised nature, God has given life in Christ. We of all people should be the most optimistic, the most positive. We're not locked into this body of death forever. God has pardoned all your sins, canceling the ordinances that stood against us. He took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to His cross. Nailing it to His cross. See, God wants to restore man. Did you think carefully about that song that Bill led us in a little while ago? I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I didn't tell him to lead that song. The Spirit guided him to pick that song. Redeemed from what? Redeemed from being a totally physical being with no hope, with no future. The passage goes on and it says, He took the list of sins, destroyed it by nailing it to His cross, ridding Himself of all the powers of evil, and putting them to open shame, leading them captive in the triumph of Christ. He exposed them shattered, empty, and defeated. And if you don't believe that, pick up your newspaper. If you don't believe that, turn on your television set. And go to the TV channel that tells about the news and see how much positive, optimistic, good stuff you hear. If you don't believe that, listen to the two candidates for president of this country. And ask yourself, is that the best we have? I'm very apolitical, which means I don't like anybody. And that's not just me. It's because our secular society has tried it all. And now we're killing babies and we're euthanizing people that are old and too old to defend themselves. Instead of providing them with the peace and the help that they could have, we're going through legal discussions about what sex somebody is and can you change your sex and whether this should be forced upon our children or not. We're going through all of that discussion because we have separated ourselves from God. And what Christ wants to do is to move us into the relationship that God wants us to have with Him, not just now. But for eternity. For eternity. Read Revelation 21 and 22 and look at the description. Picture after picture of beauty. Trees that bear fruit 12 months. See, Adam and Eve did not eat a red, delicious Michigan apple. That wasn't the point. That was a spiritual picture. But here we are. Another couple of weeks and there won't be a fruit on any tree, will there? The apples will be gone. Cherries are already gone. Peaches are gone. Grapes are gone. Can you imagine where there's roots 12 months of the year? You say, well, that's a picture. Wonderful. I don't care what's a picture or what it describes. It describes something beautiful. Something different. Something eternal. It talks about water running crystal free from the throne of God. Don't have that muddy old river. Don't have to worry about lead in our drinking water. See, all that's physical. And the question that comes to you and me this morning is, are we willing to be restored, willing to be redeemed to Jesus Christ, through Christ, to God? Turn in your book to number 345. This is a song I sing just about every day to myself. And I sing it to myself because I'm asking myself, am I really well with God? Have I kept my relationship? Has the sin of my life pushed me away from God? And maybe it caused me to treat my wife in a bad way, or my friends in a bad way. It is well with my soul. It's an affirmation of it's not up to me. Because the resounding cry coming from Adam is, you're special. You're created in God's image. I have nailed your old man to the cross with Jesus. And it is well with your soul. And if it's not well with your soul, we would encourage you this morning, give us the opportunity to pray with you. If you've not become a Christian, don't continue to refuse to be redeemed. But submit yourself to God. If in any way you're subject to the invitation of Christ, won't you come as together we stand and sing to encourage you? Please come.